Today's going to look a little bit different. It's not, I guess, maybe a typical sermon, although it does have a few points in it. What I did this past week, this had been really stirring in my heart, and because I felt as though my spiritual journey had plateaued a little bit. And you say, well, Pastor, how is that even possible? You know, my routine throughout the week is I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm preparing for messages. And if I'm not careful, I'm not truly feeding my own soul. And a lot of times my prayer time involves praying, of course, for my family and praying for our church family and praying for needs. And if I'm not careful, I'm not really communing with the Lord the way that I should. And I just felt as though I was stagnant. I got to the point where I thought, even my Bible reading has become a little bit stagnant. So I tried one discipline early on in the year to maybe stir it a little bit. What I decided to do was getting God's Word, and I saw somebody else had been doing this, and I decided I was just going to write out all of the words of Jesus in my journal, and that takes a long time. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to read it and rewrite it and focus on words and highlight things and just really zero in on the words to Jesus, and my desire was, Lord, speak to me. As a pastor, there's a lot of times I could be watching a television show. I could be driving around and see a billboard. I could read something. And like any good pastor, I'll say something like, oh, that'll preach. Come on, how about the pastors and missionaries in the room? Oh, that'll preach, right? And I felt as though the Holy Spirit said, you need to preach to yourself a little bit. And I needed more. I'm actually entering into my last semester of grad school, which I'm very thankful for. It's been challenging, yes. And my wife has, this is her last year, so we'll be walking together. Yeah. Her program actually did take that amount of time. Mine should have been taken, should have been a little bit shorter. But I stretched it out a little bit. And so we're walking at the same time. But even with studying, I just felt as though I wasn't feeding my soul, my spirit. I didn't feel like I was growing closer, and I'm explaining what spiritual growth means in a moment, and I knew that I needed to grow. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need to grow. Now tell them, you need to grow, and don't be funny about it. So the title of today's message is Never Stop Growing. Never Stop Growing. Pastor Ben has a sign on the door outside of his office that says, never grow, what is it, never grow up, it's a trap. So he lives by that. He is mature, we have great spiritual conversations, he's responsible, he works hard, provides for his family, but he chooses never to lose his youthfulness. So never grow up, it's a trap. And but I believe that what God has been speaking to my heart, and it resonates with us as a church, is that we have to live by this mantra that I'm never going to stop growing. I'm always going to want to desire more of God, to be more and more like Jesus. And the reality is that God designed everything to grow. There is nothing that God created or exists in creation that is born in the mature process. Everything grows. You following me? A newborn baby, yeah. The baby shout out over there. A newborn baby or a toddler, right? We expect them to grow. We've got some young ones in the room today. We've got some newly born babies. We've got a couple on the way, Emily. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to see that. But it's the expectation of a parent that child grows, right? No parent wants their child to be in diapers their whole life, right? That's the first stage you want to break through. For me, I was ready for that to be done before they started walking, but that doesn't work that way. But you expect them. A child is expected to grow into an adult. There's no greater accomplishment for a parent than to raise children who are fully functioning adults, who are productive members of society, who love God, who honor God, and reflect His nature and his truths. It's no greater thing than that. I could care less what my children end up doing for a living someday. What I want to see is I want to see them grow and mature, make good, godly decisions, be a productive member of society, a valuable member of Grace Community Assembly or whatever church, if they choose not to attend here, that they're a part of. That's what every parent wants. It's in nature. I was watching a movie with Ari. She was loving it, and the beginning of it, you'll know which movie I'm talking about. There's this squirrel, his name is Scrat, and he's chasing this acorn through all of the series of the movies. Now, before you get too upset with me about dinosaurs and everything like that, it's just a kid show. It's a kid movie, right? It's funny. And so he's chasing this squirrel, right? But that acorn is intended to die and fall in the ground and produce a tree, right? An oak tree, a beautiful oak tree. Seeds, they become a harvest. We recently were fostering our grand puppy. It proved to be a little bit too much. The thing is, he just did not like apartment living, right? You ever have a dog in an apartment? Didn't like apartment living. And my daughter, Abby, am I allowed to say that she's, she's pregnant. Some of you have been praying, so thank the Lord for that. And she's got to take Ace down the flight of stairs, and Ace is a big dog, and he yanks me around, so she was a little afraid he was going to, and the dog barks at everything. I mean, honestly, we walked outside the door, and there was a rock on the sidewalk, and he barked at it. My anticipation in fostering Ace is that he matures a little bit. He grows up a little bit. I mean, he's at the stage where I'm not sure if he knows his name. Like, you call him by name, and he looks at you like, oh? You know, this goofy look on his face. Your name is Ace. Ace Pop-Pop. come on, buddy. Learn the name. But he needs to mature. He eats great food, We feed him great, give him treats when he does what he's supposed to do. But he eats rocks and sticks sometimes. And I really got to watch him. The other day, he threw up on the sidewalk. And I was like, oh, no, is he sick? And I see two rocks, a stick, and something unidentified. I don't know what it was, but I cleaned it up. My desire, my hope is that Ace grows. He matures as a dog, as much as a dog can mature. The reality is that healthy things grow. We see that all throughout nature, and we see that in God's word. It is a spiritual fact that we see all throughout Scripture. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again. Do you believe that? We become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We're born again. But it doesn't stop there. Being born again is not the end of the journey. Maybe some of you in the room, you're sitting here thinking, oh, wow, I missed out on a lot. Thought that was it. Born again, I even got water baptized. It was a long time ago, but I still remember it. That's not the end of the journey. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. God never intended for us to remain spiritual infants. Okay? We need to grow. We have to continually grow. And the idea of growth is that we're being transformed more and more into who God wants us to be. So where do I get this idea from? Jesus, believe it or not, set the example for this. Okay? You might go, he's Jesus, he's God, he was probably perfect. How many of you have ever sat and thought about, did Jesus cry as a baby? I know crying baby sometimes can be very frustrating, and you're like, what? What are you crying about? I don't know. Tell me. Did Jesus cry? Did he take somebody else's toy when he was a toddler? You ever think about that? He was sinless. He was perfect. I don't think so. I think Jesus had much wisdom when he was young, and he would give his toys away. Joseph would be like, Jesus, stop giving your toys away. It took me 2 days to make that. Stop. So here it is, Luke 2:52. Short verse. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. As a young man, Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with all people. So how do we do that? How do we grow spiritually is what I want to talk to you about. And here's the good news. The Apostle Peter, I've been personally studying the epistle of 1st and 2nd Peter, and been reading it and rereading it and studying it, and I've begun to talk a little bit about journaling. I used to journal a lot. How many of you journal here in the room? All right, good. By the way, there's no sermon notes intentionally today because I want you to write them down. Sometimes I look out and I see a lot of glowing faces. And if you're reading notes, that's fantastic. But I'm distracted just like you are. And if that text message pops up, you know what you do? You click on it, right? Or that notification. Forget about the Amazon package that's coming, all right? Just focus on this. So I did that intentionally. Life group leaders, jot some things down, and I think there will be some great discussion from this. But one of the things that I got from 2 Peter is in chapter 1 and verse 3. It's a remarkable verse. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything. Turn to the person next to you and say, everything. Everything. You're like, well, I don't have what they have, or, you know, I struggle to see value in this, or I wish I would, you know. Listen, God has given us everything. If you set your mind to spiritual growth and being a productive member of society and of the body of Christ, guess what? God has given you everything. Everything. Stop comparing your journey, your race with somebody else's. I just wish I had a little bit more like that person because I would do this. Maybe that person had done that their whole life and that's how they got to that place. And you've been squandering a little bit and not being wise with what you have been given. That's just a possibility. It's not always the case. He's given us everything we need to live for living a godly life. How many of you desire to live a godly life? Don't we wake up as followers of Christ with that on our mind? I want to live a godly life. I'm tired of struggling with this, and I want to grow. I believe that that's every follower of Jesus Christ. Nobody desires to get saved and just say, maybe they do now. Maybe they're in that place now. You know what? I just want to sit on this. This is my pew. And this is my seat. Right? You ever been in those places? Like, don't sit in that person's seat. Right? Listen, here at Grace Community Assembly, we encourage you, do sit in that person's seat. My goal as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And hopefully God's word does that, and it's not just me, right? We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. What I've realized in my life as a pastor, and particularly as a lead pastor over the last 20 plus years now, 23 years, is this: time alone doesn't produce maturity. Time alone doesn't. Unfortunately, many Christians confuse age with maturity. And it's not always the case. And even more so spiritually. Someone could have attended church for 40 years and still be spiritually immature. Growth requires being intentional. Being intentional. You're like, well, I thought salvation was free. Yeah, it is. It's free. But growth and following Jesus Christ will cost us everything. You following me? I realize this, and you've heard this joke before. Just because you have a gym membership, or you've got all kinds of gym equipment at home, and you've got workout videos and that sort of thing, it doesn't equate to losing weight and building lean muscle if you're not putting the time in, if you're not exercising, if you're not doing the work, right? And the same is true with being a follower of Christ or being a part of a church. Attending church doesn't simply equate to spiritual maturity. And that's my heart. In the church world today, we see a lot about church growth and church growth strategies. And yes, I just said something that's healthy continues to grow. But I think that our focus needs to shift on our own spiritual maturity and growth. And when we begin to get there, it will become contagious. You can hardly hold back from sharing your life with other people and sharing not only in the community of church, but outside of the church. It's so hard to resist talking to people about what Jesus has done in your life when you are growing spiritually. When you're not growing spiritually, it's very easy. I didn't even have time to look at statistics, but I remember statistics a long time ago that almost 90% of believers in today's American church never lead a single person to Jesus Christ. Gosh, isn't that crazy? You think about the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Everybody was leading people to Jesus Christ. And so I think some things need to shift, and it begins with us. The writer of Hebrews understands the importance of community. And he wrote this, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. I can't tell you how many people I've heard or pastors I've heard that have been so discouraged by somebody making a comment, I'm going to start going to another church because I'm just not being fed. I might offend some people right now, but that is one of the most pathetic answers I have ever heard. My response usually is, don't you know how to eat yourself? You mean to tell me that all of your spiritual nourishment has to come from here? If that's the case, you need some growing. You need to do some growing, seriously. Now, I know there are probably, you know the answer. You know the real answer to that. If you're in a place where the word of God is not being preached and your leaders are not leading in that way, then by all means, I think you need to find another place to worship. But stop using it as an excuse. You dig in. This should be a reinforcement. This should be something that solidifies what God's already speaking to your heart. Let me move along here. Pastor Allen ended about 11:20 last week, so let's see what we got here. So here's the thing. The writer of Hebrews is not questioning their salvation. He's not saying they're not saved. But what he's doing is he's grieving their lack of spiritual growth. And that should grieve our heart. It should grieve our spiritual leader's heart that they look out and they see somebody who's just, they're just not growing. You just don't see them taking that next step. And that's my heart. And I know I speak for our pastoral staff. All we want for you is to see you growing, to see you loving and being loved in community, expressing your faith in community, being a productive part of the church, finding your gifts and operating in those gifts. And so the big question that I want to ask you today, and I want you to write it down, I want you to think about it throughout this week, is this. Am I growing or am I just getting older? And so I've been around, am I just getting older? And I've been around, believe it or not, this is our eighth year. And so I've been around a little bit, and I've noticed that some of you, when I first came, there weren't as many pictures of me before I came to GCA, and now, and this is a lot grayer than it was. And I attribute that to being around Dr. Best and gaining wisdom and knowledge and understanding, not because I'm stressed, okay? Am I growing? Think for a moment where you were last year. Ask yourself the question, have I taken some steps this past year? Are you just satisfied with where you are? How many of you would say, I'm definitely not satisfied with where I am right now? I want more. I want to grow more. I hope that's the case. Don't ever get satisfied. So what is spiritual growth? Here it is. It's as simple as this. Spiritual growth is the process of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. That is every day, every thought, every action, every practice. When we're having a bad day, every reaction. When we feel like saying an unkind word to somebody, it is think before you speak. You remember that? It is reining it in. Never using the excuse of, well, that's just how I am. I just say what's on my mind. That's a terrible way to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 tells us, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Everybody say freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is spirit, listen to this, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's spiritual growth. And that takes a lifetime. And even if you lived 100 lifetimes, I don't think you would fully get to where you need to be. And so we need to continue to grow. And this is why spiritual growth matters. Let me move this through this quickly. Because number one, growth is what God expects. Like I said, everything that God created, he expected it to grow. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, he expects from this point on that you'll begin to grow. He established this lovely institution we call the church. He expects for you to get plugged in and connected and growing in community. That's what he expects. That's what he desires. Right? Ephesians talks about that. That he's given the ministry gifts to the church so that they will continue to produce more disciples and teach people to do the work of the ministry. And then Ephesians 4:15 says, that we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body. He is the church. This is God's expectation. Also, growth protects us. Spiritual growth protects us. Immature believers are easily discouraged. They're easily deceived. They're easily distracted. If you're not growing, listen, guess what? There's going to come a point where God is not going to meet your unrealistic expectations and you're going to drift away from the Lord. I've seen it time and time again. You have got to press in and grow because growth protects us. Paul says immature believers in Ephesians 4:14 are tossed and blown about by every wind and new teaching. If you're not growing, you're going to be tossed around. You're going to be tossed around by trials, by difficulties. There'll be stuff that'll be produced out there, especially with social media. It's accelerated, and you're going to be like, oh, that sounds good. I'll follow that. Guess what? Every person on TikTok is not a theologian. Growing believers become spiritually stable. And so we have to start growing. Storms still come. False teaching still exists. Look through Scripture. Much of the writings in the New Testament try to prepare and equip believers for false teachings. And it's nothing new. We saw it in the Old Testament as well. Culture still changes, but mature believers remain anchored in Christ. And then the other thing that spiritual growth does is it increases our fruitfulness. Jesus said in John 15 that fruit will come from abiding in him, from walking in him. Growing Christians become more loving, more joyful, more peace-filled become peacemakers instead of people who stir up trouble. They become more generous. They become an individual who serves others. So the question isn't whether God wants us to grow, because here's the thing, He absolutely does. He does. He wants us to grow. What I want to focus on today is how do we grow spiritually? There was so much. This sermon, I'm not going to lie to you, could have been two sermons. And all that I had probably could have been a series. So we'll see where we go over the next couple weeks. I'll pray about it and see if I'm satisfied with where this went. Number one, if you're taking notes, a growing Christian feeds on God's word. And so what I want to do is, of course, most Christians know that, okay, now that I've become a Christian, I have to read my Bible. How many of you knew that? I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to go to church. And the pastor's always talking about serving somewhere, so I probably should do that too, right? Like, these are just your elementary things. Now, let me tell you what. Those are all good, but if that's where you are, if you just view your Bible time as I'm going to get my devotions in, there's a lot of great resources. The YouVersion Bible app has some great reading plans and devotionals. There's so many. You can find devotionals everywhere for free now and download them. If your sole spiritual food and what you're anchoring your spiritual maturity in is just doing a devotion every day, your best hope is that you reach eternity unscathed. It's like you're just getting in. You could feel the flames behind you, and you're just getting there, right? That's an exaggeration. If your prayer life is just simply coming to God for a few minutes and just simply asking Him to help you with certain things and meet your needs and that sort of thing, you're going to be just you're going to continue to be spiritually immature. Because prayer is so much more. So what I'm going to give you is three principles that may seem so simple, like pray, read your Bible, serve, right? But I want to give you a different twist on it, because it's so important that we understand what this means. A growing Christian feeds on God's word. Turn to the person next to you and say, feeds on God's word. Come on. Not just pops open a devotional. If that's all you got, that's fine, right? When you're running out the door in the morning, and all you can grab is a snack bar, a protein bar, or a Pop-Tart, right? not the great nutrition that we should have. You got to eat a little something, right? Or else you're gonna be, you're gonna pass out by lunchtime. You got to grab a little something. But it's got to be so much more than that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave. Everybody say crave. Pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. That's what I'm talking about. Not just the surface level. Cry out for this nourishment. Do you hear what Peter's saying? Your soul should be crying out for it, craving for it. I need more than this. I've got to go beyond where I am. You ever get in a rut with just reading your Bible? Some people have that discipline. They'll read through the whole Bible once, every year. You got to read about 3 to 4 chapters a day to do that, and they'll get it in. And that's great. I think it's been attributed to Charles Spurgeon. But he said a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who's not. I heard it said this way: don't just read your Bible to get through it. Read your Bible so it gets through to you. And so that's what we've got to do. The Bible isn't just something, a book that we simply need to read. It is food for our soul. It is your nourishment. Every answer that every question that you've ever wanted to be answered, it's found in God's word. Every problem that we go through, every difficulty, any area of wisdom that you need, it's found in God's word. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You ever try to walk through the woods when there's not a full moon and it's dark out, right? It doesn't end well. You either trip over something or you walk into something or something gets you. God's word feeds us. It corrects us. It strengthens us. It guides us. Let me give you some practical ideas here. I think I have a slide for this. Read and study God's word daily. Take time. There's nothing wrong with hanging out in a couple of verses for a couple of days. If you've never done this before, and you can by all means talk to me, any of our other pastors, any of our other leaders, start with a good study Bible. There's definitely some that I could recommend. One that I would recommend above all others, just because I'm a little biased, is the Fire Bible. There are some study Bibles that are Pentecostal spirit filled, but this is to me is heads and tails above any other. In fact, some pastors in other nations that don't have adequate resources, one of the tools that our fellowship and other fellowships try to do is to get a Fire Bible in their hands. And this is an aggressive task of the Assemblies of God, trying to produce the Fire Bible in every language so that pastors all around the world can at least have one resource to help them understand God's word. Spurgeon also said that the Bible should interpret the Bible. So by all means, we need to dig into Scripture. If this Scripture says this, if there's a popular thing going on right now, like women in ministry, women in leadership roles, there's one verse. That's another sermon for another time. And by all means, I will harp on that for a while if I need to. Start looking at the numerous other Scriptures that point to women, not only in ministry, but in leadership roles. It is all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, but by all means, use trusted resources to dig deeper. Meditate on God's word. Instead of just reading it quickly, meditate on it. Let it sit there. Modern culture has stolen this word meditation, and it makes it sound weird, right? But the Bible tells us, Psalms talks about it all the time, meditate on God's word. What does that mean? It means read the word and then sit and just be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit. Write some observations down. Think about it. What is it speaking to you about? What is it in you that God's word, remember, it corrects? What is it trying to correct? It encourages. What is it trying to encourage you in? That practice. Here's a lost and dying art form because we have the Word of God in front of us every single day. Memorize Scripture. Memorize the Word. Do you know every year across our nation there are not only high school students, but particularly high school students in Bible quiz will memorize whole books of the Bible. Can you believe that? That's like Old Testament stuff, like memorizing the Torah word for word. And listen, you have to have it word for word. Junior Bible quiz, they memorize multiple, countless verses, and they have to be word for word. Why? Because we want to get God's word into the hearts of people. Memorize Scripture. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your bathroom. Don't just rely on wall art that you buy at Hobby Lobby or wherever. Like, do the work yourself. If you're creative, make something creative. Memorize God's word. I'm a firm believer in note takers, and our speaker from camp said, note takers are what? Oh, gosh, man. Sorry, Joseph Kellogg. We'll try that one more time. Those of you, our students who are at youth camp and our leaders, note takers are what? History makers. I've recoined that phrase, and you might hear me say, note takers are world changers. Note taking is vital. I don't know about you, But there are so many times where I go, oh, what was that scripture again? What was that? And it could be the Lord just laying something on my heart, and I've got to write it down immediately. And then apply what you read immediately, okay? James is a perfect example of this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. So don't just hear it or just listen to it, but do it. And then verse 23 tells us, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself and you walk away and forget what you look like. James goes on to say, in the NIV, I think it says that you go away and you immediately, he uses the word immediately. And so here's the truth to that. The opposite of that is true, that if you read God's word and you apply it to your life and you do it immediately, everybody say immediately. Come on, how many of you have raised kids and you've asked them to do something, right? And they don't do it and you get a little annoyed. Come on, mama bear comes out, papa bear comes out. And you're like, I told you to do that. I'm getting to it, right? No, I told you to do it right now. Listen, it's no different spiritually. When God speaks to us through his word and we don't do it immediately, he's much more patient than earthly parents. But you can imagine he's probably the same way. I encouraged you to do it now. I spoke to your heart to do this or to speak to that person or to give this much. And you didn't do it. And I know you. I know you better than anybody. This is God speaking. You're not going to do it. You're going to forget about it. So do it immediately. All right. Let me give you some practical advice. I asked our pastoral staff and our deacon team to weigh in on this. And there's some things I'll share with you in another message. But Pastor Ben said this concerning his quiet time. He says, I find in my day to intentionally be quiet, to still my mind. Can you see that? Okay. All right. Because on there, I can barely see it. To still my mind, to truly meditate on God, his word, and wait to hear his voice in the quietness. Dr. Bess said, I strive daily. And Dr. Bess gave me some more information. I'm just going to quote him, I think, once or twice in here. So this is just a quick blurb. He's got much more wisdom than this. I strive daily to apply the teachings of Proverbs to my life. And knowing him over the last almost seven and a half years, he does do that. It's remarkable to me sometimes how a situation comes up and he will react. That's why I call him a walking proverb. Now, he's not perfect. Okay, Mary just told me this week he's not perfect. but he strives to apply Proverbs to his life. Have you ever read Scripture and studied Scripture and said, I've got a good area where I can apply that to and I need to do it right now? Okay, spiritual growth doesn't happen with good intentions. You have to do it. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful for teaching, okay? It corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. Here's the thing. Bible reading and devotions are not just meant to encourage you and make you feel good that day. There's lots of verses in scripture that were just like, ooh, that's good. I receive that promise. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The reality is, no, you can't. You can't become a great Olympic athlete in your 60s just because you quote that verse. Right? You have to put in the work. You have to do it. Are you allowing God's word to work in your life daily? There's other ways, too, to feed your soul. So Bible reading is more than just devotions. It is craving. It is feeding your very soul. Find good resources. I said study Bibles. Commentaries. There are great 2-volume sets out there. If you need to move beyond a Bible study, grab something like that and dig into it. you're reading scripture, you want to figure out what this verse says, dive into it. I've learned in seminary to read authors of different denominations, even theologies that I don't agree with, because what I found it to do is that it sharpens and solidifies what I do believe. Read good books. You say, I'm not a reader. Listen to good books then. Do something. Listen to good podcasts. There are so many that can be recommended. Shauna Palmer, our administrative assistant, said this, aside from my quiet time with the Lord and in His Word, I listen to good, did I spell that wrong? Because on here it says goo. Okay, so disregard any spelling errors. Good podcasts and read good books. Zane Walker, who's one of our deacons, said this, with the amount of driving that I do, Zane is an over-the-road truck driver a lot of times, and it's hard to keep up with. He does so many things. But he said, with the amount of driving that I do, I get to listen to the Bible, to sermons, to good Christian audiobooks. And he said this, I just continually be fed in God's presence. Do you hear that? Continually be fed. What are you feeding your soul with? Pastor Michael said this, like to fellowship around God's word through Bible studies or small groups or just hanging out with friends. And that has been a big source of learning, of even attending events with people that I'm close to. It's just been a big source that has motivated him and drawn him. Secondly is this, a growing Christian talks with God regularly. I'm going to speed this up, and I promise you that if I can only get 2 points in, that's all I'll do today, all right? And I'll move to the third point. I know my wife is kind of like looking at me like, are we good? I'll just, you know, Greg Hubbard has his wife sometimes, he'll hold up a sign, and it'll say, slow down. Another one says, stop spitting. But I don't spit. But anyway. I only do that to wake you up a little bit. Make sure you're still with me. A growing Christian talks with God regularly. Jesus said in John 15, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branch. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I think there is a big correlation to what Jesus said here and prayer. It's not just, I'm going to stay in relationship with Jesus. I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to stay a Christian. I'm not going to walk away from the Lord. That's a great aspiration to have. But I think that there's a huge implications to our prayer life. Because this is what it's about. This is what it's about. One of the greatest misconceptions about prayer is that it is primarily about asking God for things. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I have kept a prayer list, usually in the back of my journal. And I have a box, and I'll write the prayer need out. And then the next column, I'll have a box, and I'll write answered or whatever. Correlates to the prayer need, and I will regularly pray for that. And when God answers that prayer, I will check the box. Listen, a lot of times it's not exactly the way that I had envisioned it, but it happens. So there's nothing wrong with that. Keep doing that. Certainly invite God, and God invites us to bring our needs to Him. Scripture tells us to present our requests with thanksgiving, right? Philippians 4:6. But if prayer is only about asking for things, we've missed the greatest purpose. Prayer is about relationship. Notice that Jesus doesn't use the illustration of a boss and an employee. He uses the picture of a vine and a branch. The branch doesn't strive to produce fruit on its own. The branch just simply stays connected to the vine and is healthy, and life flows from the vine that is connected to the branch. You following me? Prayer is really intended to change us. Not just change our circumstances. I believe prayer, and when we are in communion with God in prayer, it has a way of changing us. We often think prayer changes our circumstances, and sometimes it does, but just as often, prayer changes us. Prayer softens our hearts. How many of you know our hearts can be hard sometimes? We could be jaded, we could be callous. Prayer changes that, it softens that. Prayer calms our anxious mind. Do not be anxious about anything, but come to God in prayer. And that could look like, it has certainly has to be more than just asking God, because he already knows what your needs are. Just sitting before him, weeping, asking God to search your heart, letting him do that. Sit quietly and listen. Some of us talk too much and we don't do enough listening. You ever have a conversation with a person like that? They're just talking and talking and talking. And then when you respond, you try to talk, you know they're not paying attention. They're just thinking about the next thing they want to say. Envision your prayer life like that. Sometimes that's the view he has from heaven. He wants to give us the answer, and we're already thinking about the next thing that we're going to say instead of just sitting and listening for the answer. So it strengthens our soul. Prayer reminds us that God is in control when life seems out of control. And guess what? We're not in control. He is. Prayer also includes listening for the Spirit's gentle prompting. It includes meditating on God's word. Tim, I'll have you come back. Time is slipping away. Like I said at the beginning, this could be a sermon series, and it just may have to be. Prayer includes listening to the Spirit's gentle prompting. Sometimes we talk too much, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to prompt us. Listen, I don't want anybody to go away thinking you're going to hear an audible voice from God. But you will hear clearly and feel clearly the promptings of God. You ever hear somebody say, well, I asked God this and God told me this. And then I asked God this and God responded this way. Listen, that person didn't have a conversation like Moses or some great patriarch where they talked with God like a man would talk to a person and God would respond and stuff. What they're probably trying to express is that they felt the Spirit's prompting. And we also have to be very careful that we're not trying to inflate our spirituality by explaining our conversation with somebody like that way. Because it can really deflate somebody. They can walk away thinking, well, I am nowhere near as spiritual as that person. They say something to God and God says something back. They respond, God says something back. It doesn't happen that way. What they're referring to is the prompting of the Spirit. I have had plenty of times where I've almost sensed that I heard the audible voice of God. It's like something in my head triggered and said, get up and talk to that person now. And I have to do it immediately. But we sometimes are not quiet in God's presence to hear the answer to the things that we're crying out to God for. Meditating on God's word, 90%+ of the answers we're looking for were already written down. Over thousands of years, over 40 different authors, people tried to destroy it, burn it, hide it. But God's word still is alive today. And that's where he speaks to us through. Worshiping him simply because he's worthy, just sitting and taking that time, sitting quietly in his presence. I've had times where I get alone with the Lord and I'm praying, I'm crying, and maybe I have some worship music on, And I'm like, is anybody else getting this? Like, this is powerful. And then I realized, oh no, nobody else is here. It's because it was meant for me in my time. You cannot afford to just simply wait for services and events to experience that. God wants me to experience it every single day. Every single day. Some of the most meaningful moments in prayer happen when we stop talking long enough to listen. Clint Holt said this, listening has become one of my go-tos. I love that. Pastor Ben said, sure, I quiet myself when I pray and read the word. In addition to that, I try to make a separate time to do nothing more than quiet my mind. Sit with God, ask him to speak to me, and wait to hear his voice. And Pastor Allen said this, silence and solitude, quieting the noise to recognize God is there and hear his voice while examining your heart. There is just something to sitting and listening. Would you stand with us? So much more I wanted to share with you. But I think you get the picture today that we can become so comfortable in our Christianity that, I mean, this is great. This is great. The routine of being in church with your families, it's powerful. I thank you for that. We just celebrated Father's Day last month, and you saw all the dads, all the men up here. I mean, not every church is fortunate enough to have that many men that are in church that are serving the Lord, especially not where I come from up in the Northeast. The numbers aren't that way. So I commend you for that. That's incredible. But there's so much more that God has for us. It begins with relationship with him. And then secondly, determining, I am not going to stay where I am. I want to grow spiritually. On Wednesday nights, we've got programs for all ages. You've heard us say this in announcements. We've got not only do we have the littles downstairs, and it's not just a nursery. They're being taught. They're being fed. They're not too young to get God's word into their heart. They're not too young to be discipled. We have girls ministry and Royal Rangers, both programs within the Assemblies of God that are designed to mature, to disciple and mature young women and young men. We have our youth ministry, again, designed to sort of take those students to the next level, to teach them, to see, it's our heart, it's Pastor Jennifer's heart, to see spiritual growth happen in their lives. And in here on Wednesday nights, we dig a little bit deeper into God's word. We have generally a little bit more time to really, really dive in. And in fact, right now, we're in a series called Foundations. And it's all about these things that will help us to grow. And I want to encourage you to come. I know it's summer, and sometimes summer attendance is a little bit less than during the fall and during the school year. But hey, I want to encourage you to come. If you've never been a part of Wednesday night church, believe it or not, churches meet midweek. Because this is once a week is not enough. I know it wasn't ever enough for me spiritually. I wanted more. I craved fellowship. I craved being with the body because I was in the world all day long. Get here. Make that investment in your family and get here and dive in. Let me just end with this. If you're here in this room, first of all, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to call you today to make a decision. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standards. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It begins with believing that Jesus was God's Son, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross. And man, the resurrection is so important because that's what brings it all together. That's what gives us hope. that when I become a follower of Jesus Christ, and if I would die, if I die prematurely or at a full ripe age, I know that I've got a greater promise that immediately I'll be in his presence. And the resurrection is what makes that possible. But the resurrection is powerful in our own lives. And so that's why believing in that is so important. If that's you today, you're here, and you'd say, Pastor, I want to fully commit my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask others to come forward. Anybody in this room, you'd say, I want to make that decision. Sometimes as a pastor, I've shied away from that, but my salvation experience was that my Royal Ranger leader called us out, and he was a big, tough, scary-looking man. He had a heart of gold. And I made the decision to just step out and say, you know what, I'm going to do it 12 years old. I'm going to follow Jesus. Every person that Jesus called out, he said, come and what? Follow me. Come and follow me. Not everybody did it. The disciples did. One of them fell off completely. Others, hundreds and thousands of people that Jesus called to follow him. Some did, but then when times got tough, they walked away. Others just didn't. So there's something about saying, Lord, I'll follow you. Anybody in the room? I would say most, 90% of the believers in this room did this very same thing. Said, I'm going to step out. I'm going to come forward. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to receive Christ. Okay. That's you. There's still plenty of time. Come and talk to a pastor. But here's where I want to end. The team's going to lead us. Pastor Allen, I went 20 minutes longer than you. No, actually, 17. So I'm okay. All right, thanks. It's not a competition, of course, but I had 2 weeks kind of, you know. Here's what I want to do today. I want to just give you an invitation to come and find a place of prayer around the altar and just say, God, I want more of you. I want to press in. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to press into you. Can we do that today? If you don't feel like doing that, but you feel that resonating in your heart, that's not the end all be all. I'm a big proponent of finding a place at the altar or getting alone with God, because some of the most transformative moments in my life, most empowering moments in my life happened around this area. When I was praying and when friends came and prayed for me or a pastor came and prayed for me, I treasure those moments. And so that's why I'm a big proponent of finding a place at the altar, finding a place at your seat, and just getting alone and responding to what God's speaking to your heart. So as the team leads us, I want to invite you to come out. There may be some leaders who will come and pray along with you, maybe some friends, family. Just step out. If you're here and you say, I want more, I want to press in, I want to keep growing, I want to keep maturing, I want to keep pursuing God and what he has for me. If that's you, I want to encourage you to come and respond today. Team, go ahead, lead us. Hallelujah. Man, that's it, isn't it? Jesus have it all. Jesus have it all. I want to encourage you this week to press in, to get in God's word, to take your prayer life to a new level. Find time. Now listen, I know how the enemy works in my life, and I'm sure he works in your life. You can leave church on Sunday morning with great intentions, and man, he's just going to try to slip everything he can in there to distract you. Maybe tomorrow you do it, and then Tuesday you're like, man, I slept in because I was up way too late last night, and I got busy, and I just, okay, end the day strong, or get right back on it the next day and press in. Be intentional. Jesus got up early. I know that's a tough thing to do. He got up early intentionally to be with his Father. And some of us need to just work it into our schedule as priority one to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. Jesus, we want to give you it all. We want more than what we have. We're so thankful for what you did for us on the cross, and thank you for intervening in our lives. Each of us have our own story of how you came in and you changed our life and our direction. And we're so thankful for that. But we know that there is so much more. You're calling us to a deeper place in you. to be more and more like you every single day. And that's the journey of spiritual growth. So I ask you to help us to really press in and to be diligent, and this week to make some disciplined changes in our life. First and foremost, spiritually, but maybe some of us, we need to do that physically. We need to eat a little bit better, get a little bit more sleep, take better care of our physical temples so that we can give our attention to spiritual matters. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be effective in our faith this week, to share with whoever you place in our path the good things that you've done in our life. Lead us to people who need prayer, who need somebody to just come alongside of them. Lead us to people who are struggling right now and maybe just they just need a hand. Help us to be effective as followers of Jesus, to express you every single day. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.